Last week was an exciting week. Last Sunday, this time, we were sitting down to listen to Mr. Hall speak about elders and leadership in a local congregation. I was encouraged to strive to become an elder someday, as most of the men in here were. Ladies, you were encouraged to strive to be the right kind of woman, the right kind of wife. But we're back into our study of the life of Christ. Questions? Answers? Answers to questions. Rob, are you ready to go?
Sure.
What did the person ask, and what was his perspective about the plan of salvation?
Oh, okay. Left-handed here, so. What task or deed does one must do to have eternal salvation? And it shows a works-based belief in salvation.
Yeah. Did you have a hyphen between works and based? Because we have the same words. I just wonder how exact our answers were. What answers did Jesus give him, Gary?
First one was interesting. Why do you call me good? The other one was, you know, keep the commandments, love your neighbor as yourself, give to the poor, follow Jesus.
Why is it hard for a rich man to enter heaven? And I write, it's implied because it actually doesn't say there. Ethan. Marian?
A poor man has less to give up. He has less to distract him from the Lord. A rich man becomes obsessed with his earthly possessions and puts Jesus second.
Yeah. Excellent. How did the disciples react to Jordan? What makes overcoming love of riches possible? I think we're Tanya.
Putting God first.
Yeah. Right, right. And what had the apostles done? Back to Rob.
Left all and followed Jesus.
What did Peter want to know? Where in the world are we? We're up to. I forget where I went. Gary.
What shall we receive?
Yeah. And what would they receive? Several answers. Marcy, are you ready? Number four, the first part. What would they receive? Yes. They would receive judgment on sitting on tribes, sitting on thrones, and receive many times as much. In context, what was Jesus' point to Peter in verse 30? Anyone who wants to take a stab at this? Raise it, Gary.
Humble yourself as a servant.
Right.
There's kind of a context there, the whole context there.
Right. Which goes on to answer the next question. Tough question, question mark. I don't know if this is tough or not, but how is this section related to Peter's question, and what lessons can you draw from it? We're going to skip the latter part, what lessons, until we get into the text. But who wants to answer, how is this section related to Peter's question? And Gary already answered it.
Can we answer it again?
Go ahead.
Oh, I had a little bit more on this one.
Yeah, go ahead. Yep.
The apostles were first to follow Jesus. And they were going to receive the same reward as other people.
Right.
But the point is they need to be humble.
Right. They were first in time.
Right.
But they have to be last in humility. So there's a pun going on with this time thing with the word first, okay? All right. What would happen to Jesus, and whom did he tell he would die? Very specifics, and he told his disciples only. What did the mother of James and John want, and what is the root cause of asking such a question? Tanya?
They wanted their sons to sit on the right hand, one on the right, one on the left. But she wanted special recognition. She wanted positions of honor.
Right. And what would be the root cause of asking? What did she think about her sons?
Better.
Pride. Right. Thinking you're better. Marianne, what does Jesus' answer seem to imply about heaven?
That it was not his to give, it was his father's. It implies that Jesus is doing the work of his father.
Okay. Excellent. Anybody else? Anything? Go ahead. What? Yes.
I never thought of their mother as thinking that they were better than others. I
I guess I just always thought that she just loved them so much that she just wanted everything for them.
And what's the lesson? A mother's love can be blinding. You're right. She did love them. But she missed on... That caused her to misunderstand the big picture. Yeah. That yes, love them, but don't think of them as better than everybody else. You know, the position of honor. Remember the parable? He says... Actually, he tells them, look, when you go to somebody's feast, where do you sit? You sit at the bottom and wait to be called. She was doing the exact opposite. She's saying, look, if she could, she would have taken the top spots for her children. So she did love them, but it caused her to kind of miss the bigger picture. Yeah.
Well, I understand that, and that makes obvious sense. But isn't there something about knowing that if, you know, you would want Jesus, you know, that they would be serving him so well that he would be... They would be there. You know, kind of like if you have your child and you love him so much and you want him to grow up to be an elder in the church because those are all wonderful things that are pleasing to God. How do we know that's not her?
Well, there was something different there. Okay, she's not asking, I want them to grow up to... I want them to be the best servants. I don't want them to... She's not saying, I want them to be good servants. She's assuming they're the best servants. Okay. My two sons... They deserve the spot of honor. That's the premise behind her question.
Isn't that kind of in the Jewish society, the pride thing was a big element. I mean, how many times did God call them a prideful people?
Right.
I mean, that's a big thing.
Yeah. And here it comes out.
Probably you know, grew up in it, learned it, trained in it, you know what I'm saying?
Right. And it comes out in the most faithful, you know, the good ones. You know, yeah. Okay, what was the reaction of the 10 and the root cause of it? Oh, I'm sorry.
Even when you talk about what does the faith imply, I think it implies that you have to earn your way into heaven. You know,
okay.
Things you have to do. And by her saying, my kids are the best of the best, have they done that? Have they earned their place to be there?
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I would... And I know you think the same thing, so I'm just going to say it for all of us just to be careful. We have to be careful to understand, yes, it's God's grace that saves us. At the same time, grace is merited, okay? You do something to deserve grace, okay? So in that sense, yes, certainly.
Also, kind of to go with that, you know, he says, my Father has prepared it. So all things in heaven are prepared by God for those who love him. Your place in heaven's already been prepared by God.
Mm-hmm.
All this has been prepared. Your obligation is to obey and get there.
Right.
When you get there, God's going to have it all.
Yeah. Settled for you. Don't worry about it. Yeah, excellent point. You know, we have enough to worry about owing love to one another. Okay, what was the reaction of the 10 and what is the root cause of it? Well, they were indignant. And why would they be unless they were thinking, we're just as good as... They are. So pride in there. What determines greatness in the kingdom? Rob. Have I skipped Marianne and Jordan again?
Servants administer to the law, to the least.
Yes, servants, right. Why had Jesus come, Marianne?
Jesus came to minister to people and to give his life for me.
How did the blind men refer to Jesus, Jordan?
Son of David.
Right, son of David. Okay. All right. Here we are in Matthew chapter 19. Okay. Why do I put this up here? All right. We spent 3 weeks talking about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Actually, we spent 2 weeks and 10 minutes. Just so you know. 2 weeks and 10 minutes of class. So two classes and then 10 more minutes. Anyway... Why go on and on about this divorce stuff? Anybody care to guess the rank in the world that the United States has as far as divorce?
Number one.
Anybody else? Close.
I just say we're right up there with, you know, Anybody in the Western world?
Yeah, anybody in the Western world. Sixth. You know who else? You know who? Top four spots? Former Soviet republics. Yeah. Which is not surprising, they're atheists. Okay. So we have Russia, number one. Ukraine, Moldova, and Belarus, which is also white Russia. And then the Cayman Islands. And then here we are. Number two, divorce rates in America. Divorce rates for the first marriage, for the second marriage, and for the third marriage. Care to take a guess?
No, for Christians, you said the Christian divorce rate is like about 50%.
Christian divorce rate.
You know what they say? I'll wait till you're done, and I'll
Christian.
Add
okay.
Christendom, Christian.
Oh, within. Oh, really? Okay, I didn't. This is just generally in America. 41 depends on what numbers you're looking at. 41 to 50%, roughly. Second marriages, more. 60 to 70%. Third marriages, 74 to 75%. Which they shouldn't probably be in these marriages to begin with, or these ones. So frankly, when they get out of this one, that's a good thing. Anyways, the point is, it's all fallen apart. Now, one more point to make from this. Anybody care to... The divorce trend, is it getting worse or better?
Worse.
It's getting worse, right. Here's one... Basically, every one couple out of... one person out of 1,000. One person out of 1,000. In 2001, it's gone up to 2.5, and it's actually going up, okay? It comes down for a little bit. Okay. Malachi, do you remember the book of Malachi? Where positionally and chronologically is the book of Malachi, the letter to Malachi?
It's 400 years before Christ came.
And it's the last
book of the Old Testament.
And basically he's saying, guess what, guys? I've had enough. And what does he talk about in Malachi chapter 2? You have abused the wife of your youth. You have dealt with them treacherously. And he says, I've had enough. This is one of the things where he says, look, this trend here is why I'm coming and why I'm going to remove your position. So the reason we talked about it, because it is very important and very germane. Gary wanted to add to what he said.
Yes. First, I want to add to your body of trend thing.
Yes.
The reason we see that little trend going down is because how many are opting out of marriage.
Right.
Okay, so some of the numbers can be skewed by that in some regard. Why is this important? The divorce rate amongst Christendom is higher than the divorce rate amongst people who are non-believers.
I didn't know that.
It is,
wow.
That is staggering.
Yeah.
That blew me away when I learned this. Why is that important? Because we preach against homosexuality. We preach against, you know, all kinds of other sins. And they're looking at us saying, look, you're divorcing at a higher rate than the rest of them.
Right.
Well, how kind of hypocrites are you guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why it's important.
Yeah.
Calls God's name blasphemy.
Yeah. By the way, that's another reason why it's important, this is kind of segueing and changing the topic, but to point out the problem with false religion within Christendom, because guess who they quote-unquote represent? God. They don't represent God. But God, his name is slandered because of the fakers. So you've got to point out, no, they're fakers. Okay. Having said all that, anybody else something on divorce? I just wanted to bring that up there to say, look, man, we talked about this because it's important. Now, let's move on. Okay, excellent. So here we are in Matthew 19, verse 16. Someone came to him and said, Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit if obtain eternal life? And he said to him, Why are you asking me about what is good? Stop here. Number one, the parallel accounts, Mark and Luke, have different questions, different approach. Mark and Luke say, good teacher. Mine, the New American Standard, does not say good teacher, it just says teacher. Mark and Luke say, what thing must I do? What must I do? Here it says, what good thing must I do? And then he responds by saying, why are you asking me what is good here? But in Mark and Luke, he says, why do you call me good? Now, there's a difference in the parallel accounts, and also the King James and the New King James reads differently. You could say completely differently, but not really, than what mine says here in Matthew. The reason is because the manuscripts that the New King James and the King James used contained one word, different, okay? Good teacher. They have good teacher here, which went on to get the scribes to pull over from Mark and Luke the different question, and they put it in and settled it and put it in here. The older and better manuscripts do not have it. It's not better because this Bible uses it. This version uses it because they have deemed it to be better. There's just the explanation. Why is the New King James and King James read differently? At the same time, some people point out, wait a minute, Matthew says one thing, Mark and Luke say another thing, so we have a contradiction. Well, or maybe Matthew records one part of the conversation, and Luke and Mark record another part of the very same conversation. That's pretty reasonable. I can't prove it, but it's certainly reasonable.
A lot of people, when they go to the Gospels to point out contradictions between them, I mean, think about it. If you ask three people to tell you a story, each person is going to tell it from a different perspective, so each person is going to be different in a little bit.
And if a policeman is doing some investigating and all three of the people say the exact same thing, what do the policemen think?
They're faking.
So they actually prove the legitimacy of the story by the differences. Wait, unless we all just recited it from rote memory, whatever you want to say. No. Okay, having said that, why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good, is what he goes on to say. Now, in Mark and Luke, they ask, good teacher. And he asks, why do you call me good? If they're doing that, the rich young, excuse me, I'm using these pronouns horribly. I hope you're following what I'm saying. The rich young ruler says, good teacher. Jesus says, why do you call me good? What's good? There's only one that's good. Now, the rich young ruler, did he believe that Jesus was the representative of God, the Son of God? Well, not from his reaction. Does he listen to him in the end? No, he walks away from him. So I think that Jesus is saying, look, you're calling me good, but you're not treating me the way you should treat somebody who is actually good. Be careful how you use your language. That may be what he's saying. I don't know for sure. This is full of I don't know for sures, okay? If he's asking, as in Matthew's account, which he is asking, look, what good thing must I do? Jesus says to him, look, only God is good. This is basically what he's saying here is there is no good thing you can do to get into heaven. Okay, that seems to be, this guy's coming at it at a works-based perspective. If I just check it off, you know, what's the next good thing to check it off? That's all I got for you so far. Any comments or questions, please raise your hand. So, there is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter eternal life, keep the commandments. Then he said to him, which ones? And Jesus answered, you shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, bear false witness, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as your wife. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept. What am I still lacking? Jesus said, if you wish to be complete, go, sell your possessions, give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. All right. I find it... Go ahead.
I'm just going to... You may have this as one of your points, but...
You make it.
The importance of priority.
Yes.
If you're truly willing to serve God, then what he said, whatever God tells you or Jesus tells you to do, you'll do it.
So. The importance of priority. What do you want? That's the question. That will drive whether or not you're going to obey.
That's the love. The first five commandments are love of your neighbor. You would do this, but how the depth of the love, it just increases the depth. All right, you did all that stuff, but to give away yourself, all your possessions, that to your neighbor, that's even more.
Yes, excellent point. Anyone?
I think that he did.
Yes,
believe.
Thank you.
I think he did believe, but I don't think he had enough faith to follow through.
The depth of love.
Yeah,
the amount of faith. What did he want? That we're all talking about the same thing from different angles.
Yeah, Jesus says, you know, you're going through this as a checklist.
Yeah.
You know, shall not murder, shall not commit adultery, shall not steal, shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself. Now I'm going to explain to you what love your neighbor as yourself means.
Yeah.
Here's what it means.
I find it interesting that this rich young ruler, he had kept these commandments, and basically they're representative. He's saying, look, I've done the law. But yet, what does he know he's not going to get? Eternal life. He knows something about the law of Moses. This is very interesting. All Jews thought, if I just keep it, I'm walking into the kingdom. This guy is a little bit smarter. He says, wait a minute. I've kept all these, but you know what? He still feels the inadequacy of the law. He understands something is wrong with this law. I've got to do more. Jesus, and by the way, he comes to it with a works based, so he's kind of working things out. And Jesus confirms he says, look, keep these commandments. Check, 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 check. And then Jesus, if you want to enter eternal life, you know what he does? He adds something that's not in the law of Moses explicitly. What he is saying here is, yes, you've got to have the checklist mentality, but what's the checklist for? It is to nurture love of God and of your neighbor. He's trying to get this guy not only to look at the checklist externally, but look at his own heart. That's what he's trying to do here. A couple points from this. Some stories begin well but end poorly. This guy came up running and knelt down at Jesus' feet. If you see that, you say, wow, this person's going to be in the baptismal by the end of the hour. But instead, what is he doing? Walking away. The question always is, what about me? How did I begin? And how am I going to end? Comments or questions, please. Some people attempt to find salvation in a series of acts instead of a change of heart. That's really the point of this. The series of acts are necessary. Keep the command. He said, keep them. Keep those commandments. Checklist mentality, but more. The point of the law is to develop love. Love for God. Yeah. I'm reminded of conversation. The one thing that we don't do may be the one thing that will keep us from inheriting salvation. That might be it. That was, in principle, this guy's problem. I've done it all. Jesus is like, you're going to walk right in. Just this one more thing. He didn't do it. Pay attention to yourself. Yeah. There's a passage in the Bible that says something about instruct those who are rich to be ready, among other things, be ready to give. My version says share, right? That was this guy's problem. He had a heart problem, and it wasn't going to... I think I skipped something rather important, but maybe we'll come back to it. You want to see? Okay. Who's rich? This is a picture of an American going through the Depression. Anybody live like this right now? I should have asked the question first. Anybody think you're, you know, below poverty? Think you're not doing... Look at this. And by the way, are they rich? Look what they have. Something to note in here. Do they look... And I understand the Depression. The Depression, by definition, is not something thrilling to go through. But do they look depressed? You know, they don't. If you can see their faces, they don't look exactly happy. And I'm sure that this is just one moment. But they actually don't look that depressed. The point is it can be done. You can lose your stuff and be okay with it. I don't know what their relationship with God was. How many toys do the children have that you can see in the picture? Not a thing. My Nikolai and Ivy, Nathaniel. Me. Yes, exactly. How many toys? Rocks, exactly. And this bed here, they jump up and down on it, you know. Okay. Comments or question here?
You know, I think it's all about putting, things in perspective. You know, as you look at pictures of people who are living in the high school, we actually had a fire and we lost everything.
Your house?
That
stuff is like important, but it made me realize that stuff really isn't important, because would I have rather have the stuff or have my family?
Yeah. Parents, go home and burn down your houses if you have teenagers.
No.
No, excellent point, not to detract from your point. Okay, so this guy comes, what must I do? Jesus says one more thing. He goes away, he says, I can't do it. Jesus said to his disciples, verse 23, truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Mark's account says, and they were amazed here. He goes on, again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The rich young man, rich young ruler, whatever, he is a ruler in Luke's account, illustrates what he's saying. Look, you got this big camel. Camels are big, guys, and needles are small. And the camel can't go through the eye of the needle, right? Okay, so he's illustrating, he's emphasizing, it's hyperbole. It's, look, a rich man. Whoa, it is difficult to go through it. Okay, the rich young ruler's problem was love of material possessions. Okay, apparently, by the way, that is a very, very difficult character flaw to overcome. That's what Jesus says. And by the way, who's rich? We're looking at each other. Look in the mirror, you see somebody that's rich. So, when the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, then who can be saved? Number one, a Jew. What was their perspective of themselves and wealth? If they had wealth, what were they of God? Blessed. That's the Old Testament right there. Not only that, this guy, he's a pretty good guy. But what is he doing? He's keeping all the commandments. Jesus says, that guy who you think is going to walk right into heaven isn't. And they said, what? If he's not, then who can be? What about us? And God said, excuse me, Jesus says, looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Now, I obviously admit that salvation is impossible without God. It's saved by grace. And I think that's in here. But the main point Jesus has been making is, this guy's rich, he loves things, and it's difficult to overcome this. And they say, well, how can you? Jesus says, you trust in God. Trust in God, and whatever character flaw you have, if you really want to give it up, trust in God, what's your faith, and you'll give it up. It all depends on what you really want. I think that's what he's saying in here. That is true, whether or not that's what he's actually saying right here. By the way, if you have a comment or question, go ahead and shoot it to me. If the rich young ruler can't be saved as good as he was, then who can be? Trick question.
You say look at verse 26.
Yes. Right. Number one, nobody on their own. Number two, anybody by God's grace. Now, how many, especially in Catholicism, but many other religions also, how many people do you talk to? Are they going to go to heaven? You're talking with person B. You're A, B. You're talking about person C. Are they going to go to heaven? Yeah, they're pretty good people. Well, define good. You know, they don't distract from society. They contribute to others. They do things like that. Check, 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 check. They do all these things. They must be good. They must be going to heaven. This is a great passage to use. Good isn't good enough. There's only one that's good. We've got to rely on his grace. Comments? Okay. So, Peter says, verse 27, behold, we have left everything. Remember, he said, rich young ruler, sell everything and give it and follow me. Peter says, well, we've done that, haven't we? What then will there be for us? Jesus said, truly I say to you that you who have followed me, he's talking specifically to the disciples right now, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. All right, whatever this is talking about, don't miss the point. The point is, Peter says, what are we going to get? And Jesus says, I'm going to be sitting on a throne and you're going to be right here with me. You're going to have a little bit of what I have. That's good. Jesus is saying, oh yeah, you're going to get some good stuff. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much, Mark's account says, in this time, in this age, and will inherit eternal life in the age to come. So, Peter, here, I'm answering your question. Peter says, what are we going to get? We left first. Jesus says, you're going to get good stuff. You're going to get privilege and honor. And everybody that's to come, and in this lifetime, you're going to get, it'll be worth it. But, now remember, Peter was one of the first. But those who are, many who are first will be last, and the last first. Now he's going to illustrate this. He's talking to the disciples who were first, and he's saying, be careful. He's going to illustrate it. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers in it for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius, remember this, he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius. He sent them into his vineyard to go to work. He went out the third hour, and I'm going to skip a little bit, went out again the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and then, verse 6, the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing there. Said, have you been standing idly all day? And they said, because no one has hired us. He said to them, go into the vineyard too. And he had said, I'll give you what is right. I should have read that. He doesn't say how much it will be. I'll give you what is right. Verse 8, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group first. When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius, which is what he had agreed upon with those who will work all day long. When those hired first, they thought, when they came, they thought they would receive more. Remember what Peter's asking? Hey, we left first. What's in it for us? What are we going to get? Those who were hired first, when they came, they thought they'd get more. But each one received also a denarius. Hey, wait a minute. We worked harder than they did, and they're getting as much as we are. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour. You have made them equal to us and have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day. But he answered and said to them, to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Peter, number one, be content. You're going to get good stuff. You're going to, I keep on saying stuff. I don't want to use that materially speaking. I'm using it figuratively speaking. You will be privileged. You will be blessed, Peter. Be content with whatever you get, whatever we agreed to. And number two, sin is crouching at the door. What does he say to him? Is your eye envious because I am generous? Be very careful, Peter, what you're doing. I said in the questions what lessons you can draw from it. This is that section. Your turn to talk. John.
Always remember that to be humble. It's all God's grace. There's nothing we can do.
Yeah.
We will work to follow his commandments, but it's still all in God's grace. And every day we do sin.
Right.
And it can be as simple as, oh, I'm going to be first. That's a prideful.
Yeah. Prideful. Anybody else? Come. Go ahead, Marion.
I think from it, too, that you get distracted by others. So, you know, you're happy with yourself because you're comparing yourself to someone else. You're like, oh, well, I'm better than them because I'm here. I don't know. I get that because they were happy until they saw that the other workers received the same. So I think it's just human nature to always compare.
I'm grinning so widely because I'm making the exact same point with the scripture behind it. You said they are comparing themselves with others. That is, and your point was, don't do that. Right.
Yeah.
Look at me and you. You wanted to say something, I think.
Kind of piggyback with what John said, you know, keep in perspective.
Yeah,
we are servants of the King. And we rely on his mercy. It's not something we did. It's His mercy.
And after we have done what He has told us to,
we're unprofitable servants.
Right. Do we say, now give me my food? No.
We serve the King.
Right.
And also, kind of a side thing, obedience is applied here.
Oh, yeah.
I hired you to do this work. We have to, we have to do the work.
Doing the work. Bad word in some religions, right? Some faiths. But that's what He's saying. another point that we can get from it is that any sacrifice that we possibly, if we want to call it a sacrifice, any sacrifice we make is worth it. No matter what you've left behind, fathers, mothers, sisters, families, and we know people who have gone through this. They convert to following Christ as their King, and they give up their family. Is it worth it? You bet. And not only that, in this age, we get one big happy family. Right.
Times house burns down.
Yep.
She can go to any one of our houses.
Right.
And I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm kind of making a side point here. It's definitely very related. Okay, there's a passage in the Bible that talks about, there are many, one of them specifically talks about our attitude and the way that we work. You have a job. What kind of employee should you be?
Work as to the Lord, not
to men. My version says heartily. Put your heart into it. Colossians 3, 23, 26, 23, 23, I think. Right. Are you there, Gary? Go ahead.
Yeah, you're right. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, not to men.
Okay. Here's the principle. If you're going to work, you work hard. What is the context? Who is he talking to? Right. Or some of your versions will use the word slaves.
Yeah, right.
The idea is, and Peter, and this is talked about in Colossians, Ephesians, Peter, and Timothy. And in Peter's, it really brings it out. He's talking to servants or slaves whose masters are harsh. My version says unreasonable. So, not only are they to work hard, but even if their masters are people that you just don't get along with, guess what? Deal with it.
Yeah.
Work heartily as to the Lord.
Yeah, because the next verse says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward.
Right.
It's the Lord you're going to receive the reward from, not from the
master. Right. You're getting paid right now, but the payment comes later.
Right.
Okay. So there's one aspect. Just keep that in your mind. When you work hard. Doesn't matter how unreasonable they are. You work hard. There's another aspect here. There's a part of the Bible that says, let's see. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. What does that mean?
Keep your word.
Keep your word. If you make an agreement, keep it. Now, do we not see both of those aspects in this parable? Look, I hired you for a day. You go out and work. Guess what the guy's doing? He's working through the heat of the day. He's working. And he's kept his agreement. The laborer, the boss says, I'm going to give you one denarius. And when the guy starts to complain, the boss says, look, didn't we make this agreement? You shouldn't be complaining. Now, two applications to this. Very real, very practical. Number one, in your jobs, this is not an absolute law, but it is not always wise to ask what everybody else is making. Because guess what you did? When you signed up, you said, I will work for this much. Now, that's not saying never take a survey. That's not saying that. But it is saying, be very careful. You're walking a line that can be difficult to maintain integrity on. And the same thing about unions. Unions, collective bargaining, including the, I'm not going to go to work today because you don't treat me the way that you and I actually agreed that you would treat me that way. So, be careful about unions. I don't know if there are any union workers in here, right? Are you? Okay. Just be careful. I'm not saying it's a sin to be in a union, but be very careful, because when that union starts to say, you're going to go on strike, guess what? You have a choice at that very moment. You can either, what does he say? Take what is yours, but if I wish to give this last man the same, is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own, or is your eye envious? Did you not agree with me? That is the root of it all. We agreed to this. So be very careful when it comes to unions. That's what I'll say. I'll stop talking there. Isn't that nice of me? Anybody else? We've got a few minutes left. Gary?
Just maybe a side point. When you were, you know, I think this kind of brings this out a little. When you were saying that person A is talking to person B about person C, are they going to be saved? You know, the saved part is up to the judge, not us. I can't tell whether anybody is saved. I need to be looking at me to see if I'm doing this right.
Yeah.
And beg for mercy from the judge. He's going to make that decision. Yeah.
Sharon Bailey. Yeah. Who knows she's in heaven right now?
I got pretty good thought that she is, but
I have a pretty good thought, that's as far as we can go. Yeah, I think if somebody is, I'm guessing she is.
That's right, because if she ain't, whatever.
Right, right. But none of us can go and say, no, I know it for 100% because we're not there. You know, that's on the other side. Okay, anything else? Thank you for your work today. Thank you.